picking up again with the Manas Kahuna after a brief interval of a couple of months. I'm going to speak about what I think is very intriguing and very important. We're going to try to share a mahalach, which when we learned the Karbanos Sugyas last year, we did not talk about. And it's a mahalach which I think is very, very beautiful. I can shed light as far as the role of the Kohanim in the Manas Kahuna. If you remember, we'll give a little bit of an overview. The Gemara Baba Kama, the Tosefta, the Rambam, the Hilchos Bikurim tell us that there are 24 Matnas Kahuna. There are 24 gifts that we are charged to give to the Kohanim. We pointed out several times this year that not all of those gifts are created equal, that the goal of those Matanos Kahuna, they do change at different times. We've been trying to develop the idea that sometimes you have a gift which is more like a tax. It's more that the whole goal of it is to give something to the Kohanim. They don't have a regular profession to make money the same way. They don't have Nachlan Eretz Yisrael the same way. So we have like a tax system set up to make sure the Kohanim get some money. There are also situations where the Kohanim are actually playing a more critical role. Sometimes the whole Manas Kahuna is about we need the Kohanim, not just as a gift to them, but like the Gemara tells them, Masechet Pesachim, Bailim, Kohanim Ochlim Ubalim Mischaprim, that sometimes with Kachim, we need the Kohanim to eat it because they give us kapara through eating that carbon. It's very, very important. They play, that's the gift to them, but it's also they're giving us something that when they eat it, we're getting something in return. We spoke about a third category of Manas Kahuna, which is some items become so kadosh that the goal of the item wasn't to give it to a Kohen. It's not about a tax system, but it's so kadosh, they are just the natural address to receive that which is really considered to be very, very kadosh. We're speaking today about carbon shlamim. Carbon shlamim, we're going to have some background about carbon shlamim. And again, we're going to try to develop an idea about the role of Kohanim, which I think is very, very intriguing. And I think, again, if we do a decent job, noteworthy. And that's like this. Carbon shlamim is a different kind of carbon than the carbon ola, chatas, asham, and mincha. Carbon shlamim is what's referred to in the Mishnayis in Zvachim as kachim kalim. Kachim kalim means we treat it in a little bit of a more makil kind of a way. How is shlamim different than some of those other karbanos? So carbon shlamim, we say it every day in davening, that you can shecht it b'chol makom ba'azara. You can shecht it anywhere in the azara, not only in the northern side. We assume that once you're allowed to eat the shlamim can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. Anywhere in the old city of Yerushalayim, or was then really Ha'achgapidin Yerushalayim, you're allowed to eat the carbon shlamim. You also have more time to eat the carbon shlamim. You have, instead of most karbanos, which is like one day and a night, and by the next morning it becomes nosar, it becomes leftover, you have to burn it. Carbon shlamim, more flexible. Carbon shlamim is something which you have 2 days and a night to eat. An additional thing that we saw, an additional din about carbon shlamim, which is important, relates in particular to who eats the carbon shlamim. The carbon shlamim is eaten by, the way that Chazal say it, the way that Rashi quotes it in his Parish on Chumash, in Parash Vayikra, why is it called shlamim? Sheyesh bahen shalom. The Mizbeach, Ule Kohanim, Ule Ba'alim. What makes carbon shlamim unique is it's a real shalom kind of an experience. Who gets the carbon shlamim? So some of it goes on the Mizbeach, we offer the Mizbeach. Some of it the Kohanim eat, and some of it the Ba'alim eat. Some of it we eat. This idea that the Kohanim eat part of it, so we have a similar kind of a question. What is the role? I know why if it's a carbon, why some of it's offered on the Mizbeach. But why does it go to the Kohen? And here there are, again, three misvara. You could have raised three possibilities. You could have said it goes to the Kohen because, well, it's holy. Part of the animal is holy. Where else can the part of it go? So we give part of it to the Kohen because it's kadosh, certain sections of it, and therefore magia to the Kohen, and they should get it, it's more sanctified. You could argue that it's a karbon. And sometimes when Kohanim eat karbanos, that helps us get kapara, helps us get forgiveness. Maybe that's what it's about. The third thing which you can claim is that the goal of giving it to the Kohanim is some sort of a tax, a way of getting them food, getting them good meat, and they get a lot of their stuff through the karbanos. Maybe that's what it's really all about. So I want to talk about three different mahalchim, what the goal of carbon shlamim is. Within each mahalach, we'll share a Torah, which I think can shed light
on why the Kohanim are getting it and the goal of it. And I think we'll see some, I think some very beautiful Torah. I think some very fascinating Torah. Let's begin as follows. Many karbanos you bring because you need kapara. Many karbanos you bring because a person messed up. They need a degree of forgiveness. Where does this like come up? So if I violated Shabbos by mistake, I have to bring a carbon chatas in order to give me a form of kapara. If you violated the Isra of Me'ila, so I violated Me'ila b'shogeg, I have to bring an asham Me'ilo, to bring a carbon as a result. Why am I bringing a carbon shlamim? So nowhere in Chumash does it say in Chumash that a carbon shlamim has anything to do with kapara or ritzoy. There's no indication whatsoever that a carbon shlamim is really there to give any kapara whatsoever. So why am I bringing a shlamim? So there are a couple rashis, and the Netziv jumps on these rashis in a couple of places. But Rashi, as an example, in Zvachim and Rashi in Erchen, Zvachim daf chav tes, Erchen daf chav aleph, Rashi seems to tell us that there are that carbon shlamim actually is necessary for kapara. It's necessary for kapara. Even though I bring it voluntarily, it's necessary for kapara. Kapara for what? Like, what's left? What do we not already have karbanos for? So as an example, chatas is like very sort of severe avera to be chayav kares for. Isser aseis or huri avera, that's a carbon ola. You violated certain other kinds of isurim, so that you bring an asham for. But why am I bringing shlamim? What's a kapara for? So Rashi just says in one place, Rashi writes, it sounds in Erechin, that Rashi writes in Erechin Chaf Aleph, that shlamim are mechaper an aseis. That shlamim, if you didn't violate an asay, if you didn't perform an asay, then shlamim is mechaper on that. Some claim that has to be a misprint. It should have said, olas are mechaper an aseis. What is shlamim mechaper for? So the Netziv has a theory. The Netziv's theory is he has in the Merome Sadeh on Zvachim, he has the Merome Sadeh on Bechoros, on Daf Chavav, he has in Heimek Davar at length. The Netziv's theory is as follows. It's so beautiful and it's so good. Shlamim is called a shlamim milashon shalom. Why do you bring a shlamim? So says the Netziv, you bring a shlamim if you have failed to perform. If you have failed to perform the mitzvahs asay of asiyas chesed l'chaveiro, gemilas chasadim. If a person does not sufficiently help those who are in greater need, if a person is not fulfilling the mitzvah of chesed, so that person comes to bring a carbon shlamim, a carbon shlamim. In many ways, Netziv says, the carbon shlamim is brought to fill the gap of a lack of shalom in this world. There wasn't sufficient shalom, so how do you rectify the lack of shalom? By bringing a carbon shlamim. So writes the Netziv, it is an act of kapara on some level. That's why Derech Agav, the Rosh Mishans hold, that when you bring a shlamim, you do a vidoy. You confess a sin. Lefi the Netziv, if I asked you, why are we giving a kohen? Why give a kohen? How come we don't just do me and the Mizbeach? Why is shlamim going to be that I'm delivering it also to Kohanim? So lichora, that's a means of rectifying this absence of shalom. What I would suggest is that the reason why shlamim goes to all parties, the Bailim, the Ribono Shel Mizbeach, and the Kohanim, is because part of the kiyum of carbon shlamim is that you shared with others, is that you gave over to Kohanim also certain portions. That's how you show that you internalize the value, that you failed the Gemilas Chasadim, and the way that you fix that by bringing a carbon, not just Ben Adam Lemakom, that'd be an odd way to fix the Ben Adam Lechavero problem. One of the ways that you fix the Ben Adam Lechavero at the same time is by sharing that to Kohanim. That would be my suggestion. If that's true, so we find now an interesting sort of like model for why the Kohanim get carbon shlamim. It's not the Kohanim Ofim Mubailim Mischaprim sense. It's that in order for me to show and to demonstrate that I've become a better person, internalizing the values of chesed, I can now give it to a Kohen. That'd be Mahalach number one why you deliver a carbon shlamim to a kohen. A suggestion, that'd be number one. The second mahal, we spoke about last time also, but we're going to do again a little bit of a better job, and we'll try to go from there, and that is as follows. There are many who suggest that the goal of carbon shlamim is the following. The Gemara in Kulin on Daf Tazayin Amabez quotes a very famous machlokas, between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yishmael. And the machlokas has to do, with in the midbar, were you stam allowed to eat basar taiva? If I wanted to grill in the midbar, could I just go and grill in the midbar? Would that be okay? So Rabbi Yishmael holds that in the midbar itself, the answer was no. In the midbar, you were not allowed to stam shecht an animal and eat it. What did you have to do if you wanted to have a steak? The only way you could have a steak was to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. You would offer a carbon shlamim, and that would be the way that you would be allowed to eat meat, basar taiva. Otherwise, it would be shmal holds. It would not be okay to eat basar taiva. Other Tanaim held differently. They held that you could eat it, but if you look at it certainly was not the same. They have a different dinim, nechira, etc. Why is it that when we got suddenly in Eretz Yisrael, we're allowed to have, allowed to shecht, why allowed to shecht outside? So that the Torah seems to tell us, ki yarchiv, that because as we moved into Eretz Yisrael, so long as we were in the midbar, we lived so close to the Mishkan. So anytime you wanted to have a steak, you could bring a carbon shlamim. But what eventually ended up happening? Eventually we are living further away. And because we are living further away, that our gvulos, the Torah tells us, spread out a little bit, it was no longer practical or realistic for us to be able to come in and wherever we wanted, stam shechta, and to be able to come to Yerushalayim every time you wanted a steak. So we were allowed to do it. The Ramban seems to already tell us the following idea. What was the lichatchila? It's pretty clear, lichatchila, that any time that you were going to have a steak, that steak was going to be eaten through a carbon shlamim. That was the original plan. The only reason why we have a heter for some dayas to have shechita outside of the mikdash is only because it was relatively impractical. It was very, very difficult to be able to do so. It was very, very difficult. What do you see from there? What you see from there is as follows. The ideal Torah way to eat meat, basar taiva, to eat meat that you want to eat, is through a carbon shlamim. I.e., one of the things that carbon shlamim seems to really do is it's a way of sanctifying your regular mundane eating of meat. That I want to have a steak, but instead of that steak being something which I stam eat, how do you incorporate the eating of that steak as part of the mizgeret of your avodas Hashem? How do you incorporate that as part of an avodas Hashem? How is that done? So one of the ways in which that's done is by being a carbon shlamim. What happens when we come to Eretz Yisrael? Why in Eretz Yisrael? So now we're able to have other kinds of basar. What happens there? So it's interesting. What do we do? We shecht. There's two kinds of shechitas. Shechitas kachim and shechitas chulin. Shechitas kachim and shechitas chulin. For many Rishonim, all of shechita is like an extension, is modeled after shechitas kachim. So it could be that all of our meat, whenever we eat our meat, we're trying to be meromeim, to raise that kind of basar type. If that's true, that the real goal of carbon shlamim was a way for you to eat meat in a holy way, it's like the equivalent of like a shear in Papagayos, you know? It's a way of like elevating a little bit, you know, the experience to make sure that it's in the mizgeret of. I've done that once in my life. Major mistake. I was asked to do it. I have some regrets. We'll talk about it a different time. I know. It's an appropriate look. So when that was, so that's what it is. If the primary goal of carbon shlamim is to make sure that the meat that you stam want to eat, it's not about kapara at all. The Rambam writes that we don't say vidoy on a shlamim. You don't confess sins. It's not kapara based. Chumash never mentions kapara. What are you doing? It's a way of elevating your mundane. So what's the goal of giving it to a kohen? So I would suggest the following. You can take it or leave it, but I would suggest the following. What makes kohanim unique? So one of the things which makes Kohanim unique, look at the Rambam, the end of Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, about Shevet Levi as a whole. What makes a Kohen unique is the fact that he is a person more focused on spirituality above anything else. The Kohen is less in this physical world in many ways. He doesn't have regular nachla. The Kohen is doing our avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. He's very much engaged in that world of Kedusha. That's what the Kohen is. He's that in-between figure who's a Kadosh person, but in our midst. That's why, Derech Agav, there are always halachas about a Kohanim, v'kidashto. We have an obligation to be Mekadesh the Kohen. He is elevated. He's more Kadosh than anything else. So what is the way that you ensure that the eating that you have is going to be an eating which is a holier kind of eating, Karban Shlamim? One of the ways you do that is by giving a portion to the Ribono Sha'olam. But there's another way of doing that. Again, take it or leave it as a suggestion. There's another way of doing that. You know how else you do it? By giving part of it to a Kohen. Why? The Kohen's a person who is a more ruchniistic person. And the Kohen's a person that more than anyone else knows what about eating things. He knows that eating things can be a holy avoda. Because achilas kachim ayde kohanim is a mitzvah asay that brings kapara to bailim in chatas, in asham, etc. We know he does this. So part of the goal, again, a suggestion of this manas kahuna, of giving shlamim to a Kohen, is that when you give it to a Kohen, you know what you're doing? It helps you have a holier meal. It's like muscle namah davardome. I hope this example is appropriate. I spent the summer sitting on a 6-person table, just me and a kid of mine with Zatorsky and his wife. That was like, and his daughter, it was like a, maybe it was an 8-person table. We were sitting there for a summer, and Spakola, that was where we were. So Zatorsky is a really, you know, it's a serious opportunity. And my whole eating that summer looked very, very different. It looked very different. Not that in general I'm like, whatever, but it's when there's someone else there partaking in it with you who's eating in a way where there's a feeling of like an elevated kind of, you know, to level beyond. So it changes. And in many ways, I think, again, that's the way I perceive Karban Shlamim is like me that summer. Like, okay, I have a taiva. I want to eat food right now. Okay, we were in the presence of people that like they can eat in a holy way. It totally changes things a little bit. And that's part of, I think, the role of the Kohen there also. So through Karban Shlamim, the role of a Kohen becomes critical as the recipient of our chesed and as a person that models for us what holy eating can really look like. But now we're going to go with a third mahalach. The third mahalach is a very, very beautiful one. It's a very, very beautiful one. Rabbi Hain, David's Rebbe. We're going to be developing. It's a very, very interesting idea, and I think it's very compelling. Others have sort of similar ideas, and when you look in the Rishonim, we're going to quote right now, it's really in Rishonim. That's as follows. It's a weird phenomenon, which is the word zevach, zvachim. The word zevach, we often refer to like all animal sacrifices are zvachim. It's zvachim as opposed to menachos. Menachos are flour offerings. When you have a carbon with no, it's just dough, without that's what a mincha is. And zvachim are animal offerings. But if you look in Chumash, we always refer to stam zevach is a carbon shlamim. Stam zevach in Chumash always refers to a carbon shlamim. It's zevach shlamim. You look in the Ksav Kabbalah, one of the Achronim, I think 1800s or so, the Ksav Kabbalah in Chumash, who's very into like words and diktuk, points this out, Zevach Shlamim Vayikra, Kain Hu Kare B'chol HaParsha, that Shlamim is called the Zevach of the Shlamim. Now, why is this so? He says as follows, what is a Zevach? B'tam Lefi, Shebaster HaShlamim Ne'echal Leba'alim. Who eats it? I eat it. I offered it. And I'm korei libnei beisa ula ohava umiyodav sheyochal mizivcha. I invite people with me to eat the carbon shlamim. It's a lot of meat. Uvimoshav reyim yehalas Hashem. When I eat the carbon shlamim, I'm going to be praising Hashem. Gam laharbos ochlam. I have to have more people there. It doesn't get left over. Says the Ksav Kabbalah, the word zevach, ki zevach hu seuda shel simcha. Zevach is a meal that you're eating where you are happy. Carbon shlamim, on some level, is a meal that you are eating when you are happy, when you're happy. Interestingly, that's step one. Step two, the Ramban in his Peirush al HaTorah in Bereishis, Parak Lamed Aleph, is talking about a bris that gets established between Yaakov and Lavan. Yaakov and Lavan, father-in-law, son-in-law, have a bit of a falling out, as many of us know, and on their way out, so this falling out, Yaakov, we all know that, they have this falling out between Yaakov and Lavan, they end up meeting up and they're having a bris. Look what the Ramban says. He says as follows. Achlu sham ma'at lezikaron. When they made this bris, they had a meal together, this covenant. Oshu derech haba'im bebris. Says the Ramban, you know what the minhag is? When people make a deal to come together, two families that are disagreeing, they make a deal to establish a covenant, some sort of a bris, what do? Le'echol shnehem milechem echad, le'ava ulechevra. We share the same dish, and that's a way of conveying a certain kind of closeness, which is there. V'acharei bo'am b'shvua, u'bebris zevach lehem zevach, v'asolehem karigadol. What they did is they had a zevach, which is there. In many ways, what the Ramban tells us is that one of the things which a zevach does, zevach the word for shlamim, it's not just a su'uda of simcha, it's a su'uda which celebrates bris. A su'uda which celebrates relationships being established. One more. Shmos Perek Chavdalet. We're talking there about Maimad Har Sinai. We were in Parshas Mishpatim. And we're describing the events surrounding Maimad Har Sinai. And when we describe those events, we have an amazingly interesting pasuk. Ready? Pasuk Zion, we're told what happened to Maimad Har Sinai. Vayikach Sefer HaBris, Vayikar Vaznei Ha'am. We read the Sefer HaBris. And what's one of the things that we do at the end of getting a Sefer HaBris? The El Atzile B'nei Yisrael. Nadav Aviyu, and there's a Kenan Rasha. The Chashviv of Klal Yisrael. Lo Shalach Yado. Vayechazu Esa Elokim. They saw elements of Hashem. Vayochlu V'yishtu. They ate and they drank at Maimon Har Sinai after getting a Sefer HaBris. Says the Chizkuni, what are they doing? Vayochlu V'yishtu. Kederech Korsei Bris. Sheyerdu Smechem Minahar. V'achlu zivchei shlamim shezavchu na'arehem. Says the Chizkuni, what happened at Maimon Har Sinai? What happened was, those who are kederech korsei bris, when you make a bris, like the Zakenim did, when you make a covenant, so then you have a zivchei shlamim, besimcha, you have a celebratory meal as a result. What was the bris that they had then, when they had a shlamim? The bris between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Klal Yisrael had a bris, Maimon Har Sinai, they came down from Har Sinai and they had a festive meal of simcha with a shlamim to celebrate the bris. What you find is therefore zivchei shlamim. Shlamim are eaten not only in times of joy, but they are eaten to commemorate a bris. They are eaten to commemorate a covenant, a relationship we get established. So Yaakov did it with Lavan and the Zakenim did it with Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what zevach is, shlamim. If we ask you now, so what is the goal of offering a carbon shlamim? The goal of offering a carbon shlamim is a celebratory meal which taps into our bris with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a meal which taps into our bris, our relationship with Hashem Yisbarach. So in Maimon Har Sinai, they had a zivchei shlamim. Yaakov is a shlamim. And us, when we celebrate our bris with the Ribbono Shel Olam, so what do? It's a meal of simcha. It's a meal of celebrating bris, which is why Derech Agav, the Rambam, has a chiddush not found in Chazal. The Rambam paskins, when you bring in Korban Shlamim, you don't say vidoy. You don't offer a regular confession. Says the Rambam, do I do anything? So the Rambam says, v'yira li she'eno misvada al ha-shlamim. I think you don't say vidoy in ha-shlamim, aval omer divrei shevach. But when you bring a carbon shlamim, you have to make sure to praise Hashem. Why? Because the meal is a meal of celebrating the bris that we have with Ribbono Shel Olam. Celebrating the bris that we have with Ribbono Shel Olam. So what's going on with the Kohanim? Why are we including the Kohanim? What goes on with the Kohanim when we offer this particular bris? What's happening? So I think what's happening is as follows. It's a longer idea. I'm going to speak really quickly right now, if that's okay, and you can take it or leave it. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Peches, this is a suggestion, take it or leave it. Gemara on Daf Peches, when it emphasizes Kabbalah HaTorah, so the Gemara tells us it wasn't just the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael,
the Gemara highlights how the Torah was given over to different parts of Klal Yisrael, the Kohanim, Leviim, Yisraelim. The Torah was given to different segments of Klal Yisrael at the same time. That it wasn't just like Am Yisrael got the Torah, but Kohanim got, you know, it was given over to us in different sections, in different ways. Part of the bris that we had, part of the Kabbalah Satorah that we had, wasn't just B'nai Yisrael. With Hashem, it was given over La'am Tlisa, the Gemara says along the lines, it was given over to the different sections and segments of Klal Yisrael. If we want to remind ourselves of that bris, so part of the bris that we have, what's a Karban Shlamim? A Karban Shlamim is us celebrating our relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam. But fundamental to that bris with Ribbono Shel Olam is also the presence of Kohanim. That fundamental, when the Torah is given over, Kohanim, they're in the Makom HaMikdash, the way Klal Yisrael is structured, B'nai Yisrael is down here, Hashem is on top, and we often have surrounding the world of the Mikdash, our relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam, has Kohanim in many ways in the middle. The Gemara has discussion of Kiddushin. Are they the Shluchim of Hashem, Shlucha D'Rachmana, or Shlucha D'Idan? Are they our middlemen, our messengers, or Hashem's messengers? But the Kohanim undoubtedly are really playing a dominant role in that relationship we have with Ribbono Shel Olam. It's direct, but some things go through the Kohanim. So in many ways, one of the best ways of celebrating the bris that we have with Ribbono Shel Olam is through a festive meal that includes us, Hashem, and the Kohanim that plays such a critical role in the falling out and the giving of the Torah and the falling out of that bris and that relationship that we have with Ribbono Shel Olam. So we try to develop, we'll say goodbye to that in a second, what we try to develop is that when it comes to the Karban Shlamim, we see the Kohanim playing a lot of very important roles. The Kohanim as the ones that are the recipients of our chesed, the shalom model of the Netziv. It's a kapara for lack of chesed. It's the idea that Kohanim are the best models for how to have a holy kind of achila. And when you see with the Kohanim, it's a holier kind of achila, holier kind of achila. And the third idea, it's a celebration of the bris. A celebration of the bris. And of that bris between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Kohanim play a very, very important role. They're models for us for Kedusha. They play a shlichas kind of a role as far as doing all our avodah in the Mikdash. And they too are included in that meal, celebrating the bris that we have, the bris that we have with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That was nice.